ninth chapter, very next verse, verse 32. Amen. Acts, the ninth chapter, the 32nd verse. Pass as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately, and all that dwelt at Lydda and Sharon, or Sarin, as it's pronounced, I believe, saw him and turned to the Lord. I want to speak to you this morning from the title, Make Up Your Bed. Make up your bed. Amen? Amen. Jump one verse back to the 31st verse, Acts 9, 31st. And it says here that then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. And we spent quite a few Sundays pulling out what we saw there. In the scripture, the Lord gave me a lot. And I just want to just briefly just say this, that the church, as we know, up to this point in time, has been under a lot of persecution because of the death of Stephen. And Stephen caused people, as I said before, who were comfortably having church in one particular area to be scattered abroad into all the areas that Jesus actually prophesied and said that they would actually go to. Amen? And so, sometimes to get us to move, some tough things have to happen. Amen? And so there was persecution. There was a great debate, and many theologians believe that this debate was between Saul of Tarsus and Stephen. And Stephen greatly defeated Saul in that debate because he had the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And what ended up happening is they got so frustrated with Stephen, they stoned him, and that started a great persecution, and many people had to leave their homes, leave their dwelling place, because Saul, at that time, went to the leaders in the church, the Pharisees, and got orders and permission from them, and papers, rather, rights to persecute and bring anybody who were believers in or disciples of Jesus Christ or followers of what they called at that time the way. Amen? And so Saul is chasing people all the way down to Damascus, and eventually he runs into Jesus Christ himself, blinds him, amen, saves him, has him sitting in somebody's house for 3 days thinking about everything that he thought he knew, turns his whole life around, and now the leader of the persecution has now become a born-again believer. Amen? And so now, he makes a trip to Arabia, comes back, and he's fighting with folks and debating with folks, and they want to kill him, and eventually they send him off home and say, listen, you need to go to Tarsus because it's getting a little crazy for you right here. So with him out of the way, some of the persecution decreases. And now also, I said, at this time, historically, a man by the name of Caligula, an emperor, who was completely out of his mind, who did all kinds of crazy stuff, set up an idol and put that inside the Jewish temple. Amen? And the Jewish folks went crazy. And they decided they wanted to leave the Christians alone for just a little while. And during that time, the church is experiencing peace. Amen? Amen. So at this point in time, now with Saul out of the way and sent home to his hometown, the persecutor, and also with Caligula causing a great disruption in the Jewish religion, now Luke, the writer of Acts, turns to his original forefront leader, Peter. And this is where we pick up our story in the 32nd verse, the 9th chapter of Acts. And it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all the quarters, amen, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years. Everyone knows in the surrounding area where they're located in Lydda that this man is paralyzed. He's been sitting in the same area, in the same bed, doing the same thing for 8 years, unable to move. Amen? He's been in the same place for 8 years. When you do something over and over and over and over and over and over again, and you can be known or identified by your problem. His identity, his name could have been George. You know, the guy that's sitting down at the corner who can't get up. That's who he is. Sometimes when you are stuck in a place for so long, you can be identified by the place that you're stuck in. Amen? He is that guy. He is the man in town that cannot walk. And everybody in the surrounding area knows it. He's been strategically placed in that certain area, and everyone knows exactly who he is and what he's been doing. We pass him all the time. He is the man who is paralyzed. Amen? He is sick of the palsy, as the verse says. That word palsy is paralyzed. Loss of motion. Damage from the brain or the spinal cord that causes no power of movement. Amen? He's suffering from the relaxing nerves or unstrung, weak limbs. He's powerless. Amen? Now, we don't know how he got there, but one thing is certain. He cannot help himself. Amen? Yeah, if he could have helped himself, he would have done something about this 8 years ago. A long time ago. There is no cure for him. He is stuck. Desperate. Needy. Without strength. This man is a picture of mankind as a whole. In our poor, sinful nature, our fallen state, we lack the power, the ability to change our situation, to change our circumstances. And even if our circumstances got changed, we have no ability to change ourselves. We are weak. Amen? Amen. So, verse 34 says, and then Peter, walking through all the quarters, sees Aeneas, and he says to him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. First thing we need to notice is this. Jesus comes to those who realize that they cannot help themselves. Jesus has not come to proud people who are full of resources. First thing we need to notice is that this man has no resources whatsoever. He has no power. He has no ability. Jesus is coming to the one who realizes, I need help. I need help. Remember the rich man who still had resources? Walked away asking about eternal life. Jesus never told him how to get it. He put him to the law and said, hey, since you got enough money, help yourself. That's basically what happened. Go sell everything. Give it to the poor. I can't do that. I want to hold on to my resources. What? I want eternal life, but I don't realize how desperate I really am. Jesus comes to those who cannot help themselves, who do not have the resources. The second thing we need to notice is that Peter is the one who's being used by God to heal him, but he is not the one who does the healing himself. Peter says that Jesus Christ, maketh thee whole. The power comes from Christ alone. Peter can do nothing in and of himself. Amen? Now, for some people, that's a very small point, but for those of us who are going in ministry, you need to recognize something. For those of us who are going to be used by God in any capacity whatsoever, whether you're going to be a bishop or whether you're going to be some grandmother who tells somebody the truth, the bottom line is this. You have no power in and of yourself to change anybody. Amen? The power comes from Jesus Christ. In Acts 3:6, it says this. Acts 3 and 6. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, again, here we go again, rise up and walk. Peter takes no credit for what is about to happen. And I believe that knowing Peter the way he used to be, the hothead, this is what has caused Peter to have so much power. Because now he realizes he has no abilities in and of himself. He has no power in and of himself. He's not that cocky Peter that we saw before. Now he's saying, listen, I don't have the power to do it, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Amen? Peter is humbled this time around. I think that's for me. Yes. He's not trying to prove a point about himself. He's not trying to point to himself. He's not trying to brand his own name. He's not trying to get a following on Facebook and Twitter. He doesn't care about that. What he wants people to know is that Jesus Christ is alive and well. And if you want to be healed, I'm not the one that's going to do it. You got to go to Jesus for yourself. He realizes the power. And the source of that power is Jesus Christ alone. Jesus does the delivering. Jesus does the saving. Jesus does the healing. Jesus sets us on the right path. It's all Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We lift up Jesus today, not because he's given us the ability and we want people to point to ourselves. No. It's not about me. It's not about you. You see a dramatic change or something that God has used you to do, you give glory to God. You give glory to God. Remember Herod, the one that gave the speech that wowed everybody? And the people shouted back at him, oh, Herod, the voice of a God. And he kept that praise for himself. And not long after that, he died a horrible death. What happened? The glory belongs to God and God alone. So Peter very wisely says, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up. And walk. The glory belongs to Jesus alone. Amen? Amen. Amen. If you're going to do anything great for God, you must realize that God and God alone deserves the glory. Amen. 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 We are only human, and our motives, they must be right. They must be right. We must give God the praise. Listen, people, we don't make planets. We don't place people on the planet. We have no idea how to fix them. You get it? That's God's territory. We can pray. We can be used. But we better give God the glory. Amen? Amen. Acts 3:16 says this. And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus Christ has given this man the perfect health in the presence of you all. Now, Matthew Henry writes something very interesting because I saw the same thing, but I love the way he put it. Christ chose patients, sick folks, okay, whose diseases were incurable. And in the course of nature, to show how desperate the case of fallen mankind is. When we were wholly without strength, as this poor man, he sent his word to heal us. Peter does not pretend to heal by his power, or any power of his own, but directs Aeneas to look up to Christ for help. And then he says something very interesting. This is where we're going this morning. However, let none say that because it is Christ who by the power of his grace works all our works in us. Therefore, we have no work, no duty to do of our own. For though Jesus Christ makes thee whole, yet thou must arise and use the power that he gives you. And that's where we're going this morning. Back to Acts 9:34. Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. What's the next thing? Arise and make thy bed. Arise and make thy bed. Jesus gave you the miracle, Aeneas. Yet there is something that he's now requiring of you. Yes. There's a response that is required by those who believe in Jesus Christ. Amen? You must respond in faith. Peter told him, Jesus has healed you. Now get up. I love that. Real faith has obedience built into it. Don't say that you believe in God and you don't never plan to do what he tells you to do. Your healing is complete. You are whole. You are not lacking anything. You are not missing anything. You have everything you need to now get up. Jesus has never half healed anybody. That went right over your head. Jesus has never half done a miracle. You're not missing anything. But to experience your healing, you have to do what he says. Obedience will always follow your deliverance. And I'm going to show that to you, just so you don't think I made it up. There's a crowd, because Jesus is in the house and they're teaching. He's teaching. And the crowd is so big that they can't get this paralyzed man in through the crowd. So what they decide to do is they decide to tear up the roof. And they open up the roof and lower him down. And Jesus says, I've never seen faith like this. This is amazing faith. They are so desperate and willing, and they believe so much that Jesus can do this. That they're like, listen, we just got to get this man to him. Amen? Uh-huh. But look what Jesus does. Jesus heals him, but look what he says right after that. Mark 2:11. Again, different situation. But same words. Not Peter, but Jesus this time. I say to you, rise, pick up your bed and go home. Mark 2:11. I say to you, rise, pick up your bed and go home. Arise, get up in the power that you now have. You didn't have it before, but now you have it. Amen? This is a command. This is not something that God is expected to do at this point. No, this is something that God commands us to do. Amen? We have to use the power that God has given us. I cannot take the glory for getting up. No. But now that I have the power to get up that I did not have before, God commands us. And he did this consistently through the New Testament scripture. You see Jesus doing this and the apostles doing this consistently. You have the power now. Get up. You rise. Back to Acts 9:34. Rise and what? Make thy bed. Now the paralyzed man who has been healed could have stayed in his bed. He could have chosen not to get up. That would not have changed whether or not he was healed or not. But getting up is what caused him to experience his healing. You hear it? Jesus Christ has made you whole. Now get up. Now you'll never know how it feels to be healed until you do what I say. Rise. Get up. Make up your bed. Jesus has made you whole. Now get up. But then after that, make sure, and here's my main point this morning, to make up your bed. Now why would you ask that? Why would you command that? Why do you want me to make up the bed? Why can't I just get up and go? Why can't I just rise? Oh, I'm healed. Why do I got to carry this? Why I got to pack this up? Why do I need to fold this? What are you saying? We can get stuck in the very places God has freed us from. I'm going to let that sink in. We can. We have the ability to get stuck in the very places that we are asking God to deliver us from. Is that possible? Yeah. Peter said, rise, make up your bed. In other words, make up your mind. You are delivered. Now make up the bed. What is he saying? Make up your mind. You're going to walk or not? You're going to get up or not? You're going to be stuck or not? Make up your mind. I'm not going back to the place where I used to be. I'm not there anymore. I've made up my bed. There's no bed for me. I can't lay in that anymore. I have to get up. I have to make up my bed, and I can't go back. There's no bed there. I can't get comfortable in that place where I was anymore. Oh, somebody needs to hear this. I can't go back. See, there's a difference. But I can tell you to get up. But if you leave something there that you're used to. Help me, Lord. Some of us have to make up our minds we're not going to dwell in the places that God delivered us from. I've given you your healing. I've given you everything you need to do to walk. Now get up and make up your bed. Don't go back there anymore. Don't get comfortable there anymore. Don't go back to the habits. Don't dwell in the habits that you used to dwell in. The wrong attitudes, the sinful lifestyles, the sinful conversations, the unproductive mindsets. We're going to have to stop giving ourselves excuses, folks. You don't have to be stuck in the very places that God has delivered you from. I see so many people that tell me, I was doing good. I was on a roll. And then I had setback. Did you make up your bed? Did you get up and did you follow through what God said? Pack it up. It's over with? It's done? Are we finished? Or can we still go and get back, get comfortable with those things? See, I made up my, yes, as humans we can, but when you make up your mind, that's what it's really talking about. When you make up your bed, that's making up your mind. It's no. It's over with, Jack. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm over that. You're over that. We are not doing, I don't date you no more. I don't see you no more. I don't hang with you no more. We don't do that no more. It's over. Why? Because when I stay there, I'm paralyzed. I can't move. I'm stuck. And God wants me free. Woo! Don't go back to that. Don't go back to them. Some of us are paralyzed in our thinking. We've laid down in negativity for 8 years. When you pray, you expect God to deliver you, but remember that your healing will always come with a requirement, and that requirement is always obedience. Get up, make up your bed, fold it up so you can't get back in it, whatever you got to do. You're done. Amen. Jesus has given us power to not only rise. When I saw this in scripture, not return. See, some of us have to get that in our spirit. Some of us are defeated because we're thinking that we've got some partial deliverance. You can psych yourself into thinking that. It don't make it true. No. When God has delivered you, you're done. But if you don't make up your mind, if you don't make up your bed. Oh, okay. God has given us the power to live in victory. Live in victory. Live in victory. Live in victory. Live. I need you to hear this, people. That's a state of being. I don't have to worry about it. I'm not going back to that. I can live in victory. I saw so many people say that they got delivered and went back and then got killed for some stuff that they should have never gotten involved in again. Why? Because they didn't believe that Jesus really said, I can give you the power to rise and stay risen. When Jesus rose from the dead, did he go back in that grave? No. We have this same power. That same power. That same power. That same power. Amen? Some of us are poisoned in our minds or paralyzed, stuck in our thinking. Let me give you an example. This Thanksgiving, as normal, and I'll just expose this to you, I have a routine where I have to shift my mind when it comes to Thanksgiving. And it takes me sometimes a little bit of time to do that, if I'm totally honest with you. I struggle and I have to pull myself out of what could be a depression. The holiday times, a lot of us experience depression and pain. Amen? Why? My mind remembers a time that used to be when I had my father with me. And Thanksgiving was different. Thanksgiving was huge. We had turkey with Chaka Khan. Just big. You know what I mean? Music was big and we had so many people. But I had to remind myself that just like God told Abraham, get up and leave Ur. I'm gonna take you to a place where I'm gonna show you. See, the holidays can be tough, and some of us struggle with things that have happened that, guess what? We have no power to change. While at the same time, God has given us something completely new. Oh, did you catch that? But to experience the newness he's given us, we have to make up our bed. What are you saying, Pastor? We have to decide to rise out of that place and see what God is doing now, not just tripping off of what God did back then. We may have to do it over and over and over again until some of those things that are behind us stay behind us and we can press on to what God has for us in the new, where we are right now. So this Thanksgiving, I had Ann over. And it was Ann and Miss B. And all these new little Hawkinses and my wife. And that was it. Not 20, 30, 40, 50 people like we used to. It was just us. Amen? And we have all, in our lives, if I can say this, we've all experienced some changes in our families. Amen? Amen? And it caused us to have to come together. Woo-hoo! And this Thanksgiving, we did family in a new way. They became my family. I became their family. We had to do something new. But in order to enjoy what God was giving me, I had to change my mind. I had to rise up out of that depression and remember to make up my bed. Oh, somebody get this. Because why? Because I could be steeped in negativity and miss out on all the food and everything and enjoyment that I had. God supplied something new. But if you're stooped, you're too busy thinking about something old, you can't enjoy the newness. And so this is what happened. Every time I feel myself slipping into that place where I want to go down there, the Lord, see, when you make up your mind, God will give you some help. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. The Holy Spirit will help you. He'll send somebody to help you. Every time I felt bad about it, every time I felt like I'm going to slip into a depression, my baby, Paisley, would just say, I love you, Daddy. Daddy, can I have a kiss? Can I have a kiss? Like clockwork. I remember. I love you, Daddy. I could spend all my time thinking about a father who's not here and miss out on a father I need to be right now. Are you catching that? There's nothing wrong with missing my daddy, but I can't stay there. I've got to move on. So what ends up happening, I'm sitting there enjoying my children. I look at my children. They're all around the table. They're eating and snapping fingers and doing stuff. And eventually, Elijah and Jamie go do a concert. I'm in a full-blown concert. This is little Mozart. It's probably Elton John. And they're just giving us content. Me and Aaron are sitting there going, wow, this is amazing. We're having a good time. You know, Paisley starts singing to the music. It's like, this is great. And then Lydia and Patience are doing what they normally do, which is give me some more yams. I need some more food. That's great and all that. But we stop eating chicken. I need something. Okay? We had a good time. What am I saying? What I'm saying is that God has given us the power to rise. Not only that, he didn't stop there. Because he knows that we're weak. We know he knows we need his power. He gives us instruction. Now, you make up your bed so you can enjoy the new stuff I'm giving you in the first place. My God. My God. You can be paralyzed with the God-given ability to walk and never decide to make up your bed. You'll never decide to see the blessings of God. But to do that, you've got to make a decision in your mind to rise, make up your bed, and move on. Amen? All right, a few more things I'm going to point out here. Arise, make up your bed, and he rose immediately. He can't walk. He's paralyzed. Jesus Christ has made you whole. Amen? Arise, make up your bed. And what ends up happening? He rose, what's that word say? Immediately. I was listening to a pastor teach on this word immediately. This word immediately is all through Acts. I never thought about it that way. He said, if you look on several pages of the book of Acts, you will see the word immediately over and over and over and over and over again. This is the start of the church. Now remember what Jesus Christ is doing. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is instituting his church, okay? And he is about setting an example for all of us to follow, amen? So when we see the patterns and the types in Acts, we need to know that there are some things that we need to grab a hold of those things and remember that this is what God expects from us. Amen? So when you see that word immediately, what does that mean? Does that mean take 3 years? Jesus has given you everything you need, but notice that he always gives the command to walk in it right now. When Jesus tells you to do something, he's expecting an immediate response. Amen? Saying yes to God and then waiting for years to do what you said yes to is not obedience. Delayed obedience is not obedience. I've said that before. When I took a stand in church against some things that were happening in church, they kept getting mad at me saying, "Well, Jamie, you weren't patient enough. You should have waited. You had bad timing, blah, blah, blah," so on and so forth. And I just kept saying to them, "So you mean to tell me that it's okay for me to obey God when you're comfortable?" Yes, Lord, but let's wait on this section of the church first. Because all these people over here are not ready. Does that even sound right? No. We obey God. God forbid I obey God and then prove by my inaction that I really obey people more than God. So Jesus says, get up, rise. And he rose immediately. You see that? Give me Mark 7:24. Almost done. Therefore, whosoever heareth these things or these sayings of mine and what doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Mark 2:11-12 again. Mark 2:11-12. I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home. What happened? Verse 12. And he rose what? Immediately. Picked up his bed and went out before them. Before them all. I love this. So that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. Arise, get up in the power that I've given you. Make up your bed. Don't go back to them. Do it immediately. Amen. And then what happens? Show it off. You see it? So that they were all amazed and glorified on God, saying, we've never seen anything like this. Same thing happens in Matthew 9:7. I'm not making this up. This is a pattern. This is something we can see that God expects. Matthew 9:7. And he rose and went home. And when the crowds saw it, they were afraid. And they what? Glorified God who had given such authority to men. Which brings me to this last point. What's the purpose of all the miracles? that Jesus did? Huh? Yeah. What's the purpose of all the miracles that the apostles did? The glory of God. What's the purpose of every miracle God does in your life? The glory of God. Uh-huh. What's the point? Okay, watch this. Back up to verse 4 in that same chapter, Matthew 9, 4. There it is. Okay. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, talking about the Pharisees, because they were saying, you know, how could you say you forgive sins? Only God can forgive sins. You remember that? All right. Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise and walk? Here's the purpose clause. Verse 6. But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he then said to the paralytic, rise, pick up your bed, and go home. What's the point? The glory of God, yes. But deep inside of it is the gospel. What are you saying, Pastor? The purpose for the miracles is that people would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God has sent. That's the purpose. The salvation would come to people, and they would be saved from their sins. How did that happen? Because they see you walking in what God has done. Acts 9:35. Last verse, I think. Next verse. So, the man can't walk. Peter comes and says, rise, make up your bed. Amen. He arose immediately. Amen. It was for the purpose of the folks in that area, as it says in 35. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron, or Saron, saw him. Saw who? The paralyzed man, who is now walking. The man who is known and has a reputation and is being identified by his illness, who's being identified by what's wrong with him. Amen? What happened? All those people, when they saw this man, what did they do? Well, it says here in the word, it says, they turned to the Lord. What are you saying, Pastor? Walking in your healing, walking in your deliverance, walking in your new nature, walking in this new ability to be sanctified and live holy, walking in all of that, walking in your healing will affect others. You want your neighbor saved? Show off what God did. Walk it out. You want your cousin saved? Walk in your deliverance. Remind them of what I used to be, but look at me now. And walk it out. Amen? But not only that, make up your bed. Be fully committed to who you are now. Oh, now this is where it gets interesting. Fully commit to your deliverance. Fully commit to who you are now in Christ. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't send mixed messages. Who are you? I'm saved. I'm sanctified. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. That's who I am. And what do? I fully walk that out. I made up my bed. I'm not going back to that. This is who you're going to see from now on. Are you seeing that now? Listen, even though the church is receiving some rest from persecution, the people are working. Peter's not resting. Amen. He's using this time to get busy for God. The Holy Spirit is about to do something miraculous through Peter, and that is because God has seen him to be faithful. He's seen him being committed. He's seen him, I've made up my bed. I'm not going back to old Peter. This is what you're getting now. This is who I am now. This is what I caused you to see. Amen. What's happening? If you never show God that you're faithful in the few things, he will not make you rule over men. Don't expect God to use you in a mighty way if you never show him that you're faithful in the small ways. What are you saying, Pastor? It's important for us to realize what's happening here. There's no major crowd at the time when Peter actually meets Aeneas. It's important to realize that we don't do ministry only in large pulpits where we speak to hundreds and thousands of people at a time. No, that's not the only way this is done. Peter is giving this example here. I see him walking the aisle.
Get up. One-on-one. One-on-one. Don't be discouraged because God is not having you, you know, having 35 people following you around. That doesn't mean God's not using you. You walk out that deliverance in front of that one person. Sometimes God will see, he will allow you to focus on one person. And you never know how many people will be affected by that one person. You walk out your deliverance in front of your cousin, in front of your niece. Huh? You walk out that deliverance in front of your uncle. Huh? You walk out your deliverance and your healing and your new life in front of that husband that will never come to church. That's what you do. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Why? Because one day, when the Spirit of God falls on that person, they will remember your example. They will remember your faithfulness. They will see, well, I remember him, and now look at him now. Maybe God is doing something here. Maybe something is being done here. This is a miracle. For some of you that are wives, your husband, you know, saying you be nice to him will be a miracle. I lost this group over here. I'll talk with you. Huh? When they see what God has done for you and and through you, they may come to believe. That's the truth, people. So he said, get up. Rise up. Make up your bed. You don't have time to do that now. Now I need you to go ahead and display what I've done in you. Amen? What I'm saying, people, in a nutshell, this is where I'm going here. There is a tendency, because of the times we're living in right now and how hard they are, for the church to become like that man, where the church has become paralyzed. We won't immediately obey God anymore. We don't always represent God in front of others anymore. We're afraid of what other people think because things have become so political. Now the church won't even open their mouths anymore. We're afraid to let our light shine. Some of us won't tell people what Jesus has done for us anymore because of what folks may think about us. We won't share the gospel because we're afraid of the response. Sometimes we get paralyzed. Because we're thinking about everybody else but Jesus. I posted something recently on Facebook, and I don't always post. But I posted something recently on Facebook, and some people agreed with it, and some people had a problem with it. Because of the content of the situation. And it was a video of a street preacher. The street preacher was bold enough to buy a sound system and preach the truth in the streets. And normally when I post something, I'm not saying that I don't have a huge ego, but normally when I post something, I get at least 100, 200, 300 likes. Whenever I post scripture, I get about 6. I put my children up, thousands of people. Oh, my children sing harmony in the backseat, thousands of people. Gospel artists be like, I told you, God is doing something. And I post God's word, 6 people like it. So I posted this young man preaching the gospel. He bought a sound system, y'all. He put up 2 speakers. He pretty much set up church outside and went to preaching the truth. And some people said he might have had an attitude problem. He was prideful and mean, that his motive was out of pride. And, you know, honestly, maybe so, maybe not. I can't read people's hearts. But what I did see was this: boldness. Boldness and truth. Not only did I see that, I also saw the response to boldness and truth. And that no matter how you say it sometimes, if people don't want to hear the truth, they will either find something wrong with the truth or the messenger of the truth. If they like their darkness, they want to stay in darkness. That's just the bottom line. He didn't say anything that wasn't written in the Bible.
People tell me all the time, Jamie, you say that too hard. And I just say, well, Jesus said it a whole lot harder. He did. Okay? But he's Jesus. Okay. What do I do with that? But the bottom line is that people who want to stay in darkness will not have it warm and fuzzy when it comes to the light. They are not always welcoming when it comes to the light when you're dealing with people who have decided that they want to stay in their paralyzed state, or they want to stay in their sins. They want to stay in the situation they're in. Amen? Amen? But as disciples of Christ, we are not called to try to figure all that out. As the disciples of Christ, we are supposed to tell the truth in love, whether they want to hear or not. And some of us, you know, when I look at, you know, some people said, you know, he might have been, you know, he was a little harsh. The truth of the matter is that some people have battle scars because they're actually in the war. And some people are sitting in church with no scars at all. So you might have caught him on a tough day, but where's your scars? Huh? That's the question I had to ask myself. Where's my boldness? Where's my sound system? Hello, somebody. But the truth is that some people, if they want to stay in their state, they're just going to be in their state. If you turn on the light, they're not going to like it. Case in point, I stepped out for a little bit to Black Friday. I was sitting in Starbucks. I was studying in Emeryville. And there was two young ladies walked up with their little Starbucks thing, and they sat down. And I want to say, if I'm right here, they were sitting right about right there. Okay? So they're not too far away from me. I can hear everything they're saying. And one of the girls pulled out her receipt, and she'd just gone to, I believe, Forever 21. Like a big old huge bag of Forever 21. And she pulled out a receipt, and she's looking at the receipt, and she goes, I'm trying to see how much money I saved on the Black Friday sale. And as she's going through the sale thing, she's going through the receipt, boom, boom, all that. Ooh, I got a good deal on that. And she ran across an item that where she noticed, wait a minute, I think I got a free item. I think they gave me, so I don't think they charged me for them. So she goes through her bag and she's like, girl, I done came up. And she's high-fiving a girl and they drinking that little coffee and stuff like that. What she did not realize is that she's being loud and boisterous about how she's come up. That she's sitting right next to a Christian that cannot keep his mouth closed. And I'm asking God, Lord, is this one of those situations where you want me to turn the light on? So I said to her, in a nice way, no arrogance, no pride, no nothing. I just said, hey, so now that you notice someone made a mistake, what are you going to do? If she could have latte'd myself, if eyes could kill, she looked at me and I said, and I quote, she said, you are trying to mess with my conscience. This happened on Friday. I sat there and I said, no, I'm just saying that you know that someone made a mistake and you're walking around with merchandise that you did not pay for. And now that you know that you've done this, what are you going to do? I couldn't get two sentences out. Never got a chance to give her the gospel. She let me have it. I mean, I was like, well, my goodness, you can put some words together. She put them together quick. And then her friend was back there, but they're high-fiving each other. So it's two against one. And I'm just trying to turn some light on. She said, and I quote, I have been good all year. And this is just goodness coming back to me. And you are messing with my conscience. What did I do? I turned that light on, and she didn't like that light. Because she wanted to feel good about stealing clothes from 21. What happened?
Let me break it down to you. I'm not who I used to be. I've risen with Christ. He lives through me. When we see darkness, because we've made our bed up, we can't go back to what we used to be. We can't pretend like we don't notice things anymore. And there's a certain boldness that comes out now, because what God says, get up and immediately walk around. Let people see who you are now. Now, that's going to cause some problems, isn't it? Isn't that going to cause some problems? Mm-hmm. What happened? Too much light. I didn't say it wrong. I wasn't cocky. I just turned on the light. I'm just walking in who I am now, walking in my deliverance. I'm saved now. Back in the day, I probably would have high-fived you too, especially if it was a keyboard. They didn't charge me for this $13,000 keyboard. Thank you. Listen, people, when you're walking in what God has given you, this new deliverance, this new healing, I'm going to go here in just 2 seconds and just explain what this really means, because there's a deeper meaning here. Listen, the world will never have a problem with what you decide to believe. That's not the problem. The problem starts when you stand on what you believe. That's the problem. When you act out what you believe. When they can see what you believe in real time, that's when they don't like it. Amen. When you do what Jesus has called you to do, when you actually do what he said, God wants his children to be living what they say they believe. That's what we do. Amen. When they see us live it out, there may be some problems. Amen. But don't get scared of that. That's not your don't tuck and run. Amen. You serve the risen Savior, the King of Kings, the maker of this world, the one who made them. Amen. Live out your faith. Walk it out. Amen. People are affected by Christians when we rise, we make up our beds, and watch this, fully commit to our new life in Jesus Christ. They will know we are different. They will know we are not what we used to be. And God wants your healing, your deliverance, your new life. He wants it on display. All right. Lastly, not least. This is also a picture of salvation. A man who is dead and stuck in his sins cannot move away from himself. He'll be there for years. He has no power to save himself. He's on his way to hell, and there's nothing he can do about it. But the mercy of God finds him, gives him the power to rise, to get up. That man responds immediately in faith. Amen. Gets up and walks in the new life that God has given him. Not only that, he receives the power to make up his bed and not turn back to what he used to be. Do you see the connection? How many people have God found, set free, delivered, made whole? You were broken and God fixed you. You were stuck and God gave you a way out. You were trying to figure out how do I stop myself from doing this? And God broke the chains and let you out the cage and gave you a new life. And now you want to sit there and go back to it? No, God forbid. Make up your bed and walk this thing out and let people know I'm saved, I'm sanctified, I'm delivered. And God can do the same thing in you. That's the truth. That's the truth. The chains had this man paralyzed, but now he can go on from where he was and let his deliverance be an example to others to place their trust in Jesus Christ who can save them. That's right. There was a man who was paralyzed 38 years. You remember the story? He was laying by the pool of Bethesda. And the belief was that when the water was troubled, the people would get in. And whoever got in first, they got their miracles. So if you had a runny nose and you just got in real quick, you got in the water. And they believed that the water was what healed them. Amen. Jesus showed up and he saw a man who was laying right next to the pool. But because he was paralyzed, he couldn't move. So every year, every time that the water would be troubled or whatever, however often it happened, he couldn't get in. He had been sitting there 38 years. But watch this. I want you to see something. Jesus asked him a question. It's found in John, the 5th chapter, if you want to read it. He said, Jesus asked him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Jesus asked him, "Do you want to be healed?" No. Not just Jesus Christ heals you. No. I'm asking you. Do you really, really want to be healed? Is this what you really want to do? Is this what you really want to happen to you, huh? Then Jesus tells him to take up his bed once again. Do you see it? And walk. And immediately the man responded in faith and he got up and walked. Turn to it. John 5 and 12. Then what happened? The Pharisees, because Jesus healed him on the Sabbath. Those religious folks always getting in the way. They asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk?" Because, listen, I don't care if you got healed, you can't pick up your bed on Sabbath. You can't carry that around. That's just breaking rules. That's just ridiculous. All right? And verse 13 says this. Now the man who had been healed, who by Jesus, did not know that it was who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, and there was a crowd in the palace, okay, in the place. And verse 14 says this. Afterward, Jesus found that same man that he healed in the temple. And look what he said to him. See. In other words, realize, notice, be aware. Let this dawn on you. Take this in. Amen? See that you are well now. You're not in the same place that you used to be. You've been delivered. You've been healed. You've been set free. You've been changed. Your mind is, God is lording over your life. See that you're not in the place where you used to be. Realize that. Own that. Take stock in that. Stand on that. Amen? But watch this. What does Jesus say right after that? Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you. What is he saying, saints? What is he saying? Make up your bed. Make up your bed. Fully commit to who you are now. Turn from what you were. Make up your bed. Don't go back. Turn to Jesus. You have the power. You couldn't get up before, now you can. You couldn't rise before, now you can. Don't go back, sweetie. And God is, right over here. Don't go back. Be free. Come on now. He's given you the power. The Holy Spirit's dealing with you, I can tell. He's given you the power. Be free. Get up and walk out of that, whatever it is. And then make up your bed and don't go back. Don't go back. And know that the power of the Holy Spirit will be there to back you up. I was sitting there fighting depression. Good reason to be depressed. I lost my dad. It still hurts. Good reason to be depressed. But I still had to move on. And what did the Lord do? Made up mine. And then my baby says, "I love you, Daddy." You see that? Perfect timing. Some of us are missing out on what God has for us now. Rise. Make up your bed. You've been given the power. Amen.